Support for KPLU comes from Baird, a financial partner to families, businesses, foundations, and communities since 1919. Information is available at BairdSeattle.com. Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC.
Today we welcome one of the finest and certainly one of the busiest guitarists in jazz for the past quarter century. Peter Bernstein grew up in the jazz capital of the world, New York City, gaining early experience with the legendary guitarist Jim Hall. His list of collaborators is immense. If you're a professional jazz musician, odds are pretty good you've played with Peter Bernstein. His latest record in a trio with his longtime musical partners, Larry Goldings on organ, Bill Stewart drumming, is called Ramshackle Serenade. Tonight and this afternoon, he's joined by Chuck Dierdorf and Matt Jorgensen on bass and drums. Please welcome Peter Bernstein.
Thank you.
guitarist Peter Bernstein, live in the studios here at KPLU. Chuck Deardorff and Matt Jorgensen, bass and drums. Very excited to have Peter Bernstein in the studios. I've been following your work for years and years and years, but I never would have guessed you were, as a young musician, a pianist first, and I wonder what attracted you to the guitar.
Well, I would call myself a pianist, but I did play the piano when I was young. I loved music from an early age, and just got really into ragtime music because it was kind of had a revival in the mid-70s there, thanks to that movie The Sting, and right. Ruben was playing The Entertainer on the piano, so I was one of those people, and just loved the sound of that music and just loved music in general. So I played piano first, then later I switched to guitar. I saw some older kids in school playing guitars, so that looked like fun. So
pretty cool.
Got into
it. Now, you had some pretty cool kids to hang out with in the high school years, including one of your longtime musical collaborators, Larry Goldings,
right.
and friend of the station and a member of KPLU, Anton Schwartz, great saxophone player.
Yeah.
Were you guys a serious crew back when you were teenagers, or were you just having fun?
Well, by the time I met those guys, I was pretty serious about trying to learn how to play jazz, and certainly meeting those guys. Larry was very precocious back then, sounded just, well beyond his years in terms of musical maturity. So it was my first, musical friends, mm-hmm. So we kind of came up together, finding out about different music together and trying to learn it too, learn how to play.
It's great to hear you in this trio, a couple of the Northwest finest in this rhythm section,
Chuck and
Matt. And I wonder if you could talk about getting locked in with a rhythm section with the bass and drums and what that relationship is like.
Well, that's the constant, goal as a musician to learn how to get more into what you're doing, but also get more into the whole idea of interaction and conversation. And I think the whole challenge is like how well you can learn how to play and listen at the same time. it's kind of a how to, just be musically aware. But I think a lot of it has to do with building up your own strength, your own independence in a way. And then you can come to any conversation with hopefully some, sense of open-mindedness, keeping your ears open and wanting to learn something, but also feel that you can contribute to the conversation too. And that's the fun of it,
I've read a quote. You were talking about how important listening is, and you said the ear for a musician is like the eye for an artist. And I wonder if you can teach people in an audience to be better listeners, if there's something for a non-musician as far as being a good listener.
Well, there's people that aren't musicians that speak five languages, so they're using their ears.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always have to relate to music. And, but I think in terms of the listener, it's just about how far they want to go in terms of understanding the language of music, what's being played and what people are doing with interpreting songs and, just in general. But I don't think it's necessary for enjoyment.
Yeah.
It's just about, sometimes non-musical things that make music good.
Right. Peter Bernstein, the great guitarist, is here with Northwest Trio, Chuck Deardorff and Matt Jorgensen. What would you like to play for us next?
I think we'll play Horace Silver composition called Peace.
Thank you.
Guitarist Peter Bernstein live in the studios here at KPLU with Chuck Deardorff and Matt Jorgensen, bass and drums. Peter Bernstein's latest record with his buddies Larry Goldings and Bill Stewart, organ and drums, called Ramshackle Serenade. Peter, I know you also recently put out a solo guitar record live at Smalls, and I wonder what the considerations are when you're doing a solo album for a guitarist.
Well, that was just a live recording, couple of nights that they taped there at the club, and I mean the difference between playing solo is just that it's a monologue instead of a dialogue. So there's that element that, you know, I started getting into it just to try to, you know, confront the fear of playing by yourself. I mean, I always liked playing with people and enjoyed the conversation, and now I can even enjoy it even more that I've had some experience playing by myself. But it's just a different challenge, and it's a challenge to your own, you know, concentration and you know, clarity of ideas. So it's just something I just keep trying to do. And but there wasn't any consideration. It wasn't really meant to be an album necessarily. It just, we recorded it, and you know, they wanted to put it out, so I said, okay, why not?
it's a pretty great solo guitar record. Everybody should check that one out live at Smalls.
Thanks, appreciate that.
One of your early mentors was a legendary guitarist, Jim Hall, although I don't think for a lot of jazz fans, he's certainly not as well known as Wes Montgomery or Pat Metheny, but musicians just think he's the greatest. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Jim Hall.
Well, yeah, I was very lucky to meet him when I was a student at the New School. This is back around the time when I first met Matt, too. But I met Jim Hall at the New School, and he was teaching a class for guitar players, and he did some ensembles, I believe, too. But it was just incredible. As a teacher, I mean, I always loved his playing and records. He's on some of the most important records of our recent musical history. But just as just getting to know him a little bit as a person and as a teacher, he was not like, here's my stuff, learn it. It was really more about seeing someone so curious and open-minded about music and trying to you know, just see how he could find something new every day to draw inspiration from or find some new things to play. And just his sensitivity as a listener and as an accompanist and he just kind of has a whole another aesthetic as, in terms of playing the guitar. So he's a singular voice, and it was just it's great to... The New School was like that. There were a lot of, you know, different and strong musical personalities around, so it was a great place in that you couldn't necessarily follow anyone, but just realize that everybody, you know, rose to their own, you know, level of musical identity, musical, you know, self-awareness or something. That's maybe the wrong word, but Jim's just, you know, he's one of those iconic, because you hear one note and you know it's him, so.
And he always seemed to make other people sound better. He really raised everybody else's game, too.
Absolutely.
And certainly you found yourself in that situation, a very busy sideman. You've worked with some of the greats, including Eric Alexander and Joshua Redman, Sonny Rollins and Lou Donaldson, Dr. Lonnie Smith. And I wonder if you're constantly getting phone calls, hey, Peter Bernstein, come be on my record. Is there something about you that makes you a great sideman or role player?
Well, I don't know. I respect that... that being in that situation to try to, you know, bring out what the leader is hopefully wanting to represent, but still you have a chance to express yourself too and try to find how many different situations you can contribute to and also feel comfortable in. I mean, that's the challenge, is to kind of be somewhat at home in all situations and be able to know what the situation needs, but also be able to contribute, you know,
right,
to the situation. Yeah. So
now I know you're also not just a fan of guitarists, but you love saxophone players and piano players and
Absolutely.
Singers and lyrics.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you tell us what that adds to your playing?
Well, I had a teacher early on, Ted Dunbar, who was a great guitar player and great teacher. He taught out at Rutgers, but I had him for a year as a teacher, and he taught a lot of very important things. One of them was, as a guitar player, don't just hang around guitar players. Make sure you hang around other, you know, hang around musicians, you know,
right.
And drummers, bass players. You want to learn about rhythm and hang out with drummers and bass players. You want to learn about harmony, hang out with piano players and people that write arrangements. And mm-hmm. So it was good that way. Phrasing, got to get with the horn players and learn about songs and hear a song sung with the verse, get around some great singers. So that was a good, I loved horn players, but hearing him say that was, he said, you know, guitar is great, but just don't get caught in that, you know, guitar club exclusively where it's a, you know, it's its own kind of world, which is fine. And I love guitar players and I love the guitar, but there's a lot more music. And also he said it's a practical thing because if you copy something from a guitar player, you can kind of figure out maybe, oh, he did it this way. He used these fingers and these strings. But if you're copying a horn player or trying to get inside a singer's phrasing, you have to, there's obstacles, technical obstacles that you have to try to make it sound like a trumpet or get to that or try to express, you know, breathing with an instrument you don't need to breathe to make the sound. So it helps you avoid some of the pitfalls of the instrument to be thinking about music rather than the instrument.
And we've got time for one more song with Chuck Deardorff and yeah. Matt Jorgensen. What would you like to play, Peter?
We're going to play, this is an original blues of mine called Bones, written for my late dog, whose name was Bones. This is Bones.